Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It is Jim Masters. We're welcoming Christelle Soto Suarez, founder of Pistachio Cassis Coaching. She's a self-leadership awakener, an executive and leadership coach, and she empowers hardworking, busy female professionals, including women in STEM and construction, to rediscover and develop their self-awareness and to overcome their personal and professional challenges. As a self-leadership awakener, well, she's really incredible. Christelle guides individuals in personal and professional arenas so they can finally start to live with more clarity, purpose, and passion. Christelle also encourages young women who are curious about or at the beginning of construction and other STEM-related careers, as such careers provide many opportunities for women to expand their professional horizon. Despite these industries still woefully remaining male-dominated fields where women continue to remain underrepresented. Now, prior to starting her coaching practice, Christelle had a successful 20-plus year career in the construction industry where she worked internationally in France, Gibraltar, the UK, Germany, and Canada. And she also has been through the trenches, and she knows what it's like to feel lost and to fall and get back up again and then ultimately take charge of your own life. Drawing from her own experiences, she encourages women to bridge the gender gap and claim their rightful seat at the leadership table. She believes women should embrace their natural leadership styles so they can build powerful executive presence. She's in East York, Ontario, Canada. We're so glad to have her here. Let's welcome Christelle to Close Up Radio Live. Christelle, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here too, Jim, and thank you so much for this lovely introduction.
You are very, very welcome. You know, I like to find out what makes people tick and why they decide some of the things that they do. When you look at your life and some of your own journey, Christelle, what are some of the things that pointed you in the direction of wanting to do the fabulous work you do as a self-leadership awakener, as an executive coach, on your own life's journey? When did you realize this is work that you wanted to do, must do, and love doing?
Well, that's an interesting question, Jim, because obviously at the beginning, I mean, until recently, I didn't even know that life coaching, executive coaching existed. I went through the construction experience, a very diverse experience, which is what I wanted. But I still ended up in a place where I didn't fit in anymore. It wasn't for me anymore. I wanted something else, and it wasn't the right environment for me anymore. So after 25 years of doing a wide range of things, I think I needed to get out of construction to get a wider experience. But although it was time, it wasn't the right place anymore for me. So I went on what I called an exploration journey, because obviously realizing that you need to make a change is one thing, but the next question is normally, but what?
Right.
So through that exploration journey, I discovered life coaching. I thought, oh, that is what I need. That should be the way for me to find out what it is I want to do next. I did look for a coach for myself, but I didn't find the type of coach I wanted. So I wanted somebody, preferably a woman with a background in STEM or in construction, but all the one I could find were executive coach, leadership coach, and strangely, considering what the title I've given myself now, at the time I thought that is not for me. That must be coaches for senior executive, for people who are very, very ambitious, who really want to go up the career ladder, and that is not what I wanted. I was a middle manager. I was looking at work-life balance, equilibrium maybe better. And I didn't see myself as that ambitious. So I decided to train myself as a life coach. Through that training, I learned that actually executive coaching, leadership coaching, business coaching, all the other type of coaching, they're all life coaching. They're just different names that are being used, but they're all the same things. And it's really about, and that's somebody else's definition that I love, it's about empowering people to empower themselves through reflective conversation so that they can develop their professional and personal potential. But it's really, it's that empowerment thing. Realize what it is we want to do and realize how we can do it in a way that works for us and the circumstances in our life. Of course, it's not because we decide to do something that we will achieve it or that everything will be smooth and easy. So that's really how I got into executive coaching. So just to actually something I want to add is, even though at the beginning I didn't see executive coach as for people like me, and I'm sure others have that same mindset, I'm still using the title because it's probably one of the most searched type of coaching looked for by people who want a coach. But I'm also using another title that I've created for myself. So I'm using both. You know, being the, if somebody is looking for an executive coach, they can find me, and then they can find me through my more personal title too.
That's fantastic. That's what's great about what you do. You're so passionate about it. Let's talk about your work as an executive coach. How do you define that work?
Going back to the definition, empowering somebody to empower themselves. It's all in the empowerment. So the work really depends, vary depending on the type of person that come in and what it is they're after. But it's really starting with making sure they know who they are, working on their vision, you know, where do they want to go, and it might be more a direction than a destination, and then looking at, okay, how do you as a client move toward into that direction? And that really has to be personal. It's the intrinsic motivation. You know, if it comes from yourself, you're more likely to do it. If you're just following somebody else's advice, well, yeah, it may be a good advice, but very often we, and I include myself in people like that, we don't do anything about it. We say, maybe I'll do it later or whatever, and we end up doing nothing. So the coaching part is really looking at, for each individual to figure out what it is they want to do, how they want to do it, based on who they are, what they want, and their circumstances. And I think the circumstances part is very important. We all have different circumstances in life, and we all deal with those circumstances in different ways, none of which is, you know, good or bad. It's just very individual, and I think we need to take that into account. And when we get advice, that often is not considered so much. So I'll conclude, you know, going back to the definition, it's about empowering people. And I love that word, empowering.
Yes, and that leads to my thought about self-leadership awakener. To find that, what is a self-leadership awakener?
Okay.
Is it similar to a self-starter?
Not quite. So it's actually a title I made of myself.
And, I like it.
It took me some time to really own it. So I've only recently been using it, and it does, you know, people tend to ask questions, which is good. It attracts people's attention. But basically, it's, so if we look at awakener, so that's about awakening something that has fallen asleep, something that, you know, within us that we had as babies, but that through education, growing up, society, is just being pushed down within us, and it's there, but we don't use it. It's completely asleep. And then the self-leadership is leading ourselves. So I think I made up that word. I'm not quite sure. Why not?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a leadership of who we are, how we want to act to get to where we want to go. And it's also playing with the word leadership, which is pretty much everywhere at the moment. But I see it often as being used as leading others. And very often we forget that to lead others, we have to start by leading ourselves. So I really combined those few words, leadership, self, and awakening, into creating that new title of Self-Leadership Awakener, which for me is much more representative of what I do. So executive leadership coach, that's the best known title, but the title that it is much more like who I am, more authentic to myself, is Self-Leadership Awakener. It's about awakening something that we have within us. We were born with it, but it got put asleep somewhere down the line, and I think we need to get it awake again.
Yes, right, exactly. Why do you encourage women to work in STEM industries? And define what that is for our audience, too.
Yeah, so STEM, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And there's a variety. It goes in a very large sense. So if you do a little bit of math or whatever, that would be included in it. And I include construction in that, too. And really my interest in that is, well, I spent 25 years in the construction industry, and I've basically been in that environment since the age of 15, because I went into a slightly specialized education quite early on. And there's so many opportunities in those industries, especially now with, you know, AI coming up, and all the implication of that, and I'm not even into AI, but it's creating a whole range of future professional opportunities. But if we look at the STEM industries, I would say it goes from the very technical to the barely technical type of job. It goes from entry level to very senior position. There's especially now that ability and opportunity to mix technical and non-technical knowledge and experiences. There's so many new type of roles being created that I'm not aware of, but I've got that feeling, that sensation of new roles being created to fit the demand. And the demand is about technology and something else. And yeah, it's the international opportunity, the multicultural opportunity, the diversity of activities. There's so much in those fields. And if somebody is interested in whatever of those topics, I think they should go into it. You know, it doesn't matter whether there's a lot of women or not in there, or a lot of people that look like them or not. My view, certainly when I started in the construction industry, my view was that, well, there's stupid people everywhere, anyway, whether you go into a male-dominated environment or not. Yes, it's not always easy, but I don't think any industry is easy, and I'm not familiar with the non-STEM industries, but I'm sure they have their own issues, too. So really, that's where the why I'm so interested, and I encourage women to go into those fields. There's so many opportunities, and if they lack some of those topics, they should certainly look into it, into those opportunities, and see what they can do, and to go with who they are, maybe do a mix of technical, non-technical, etc. But there's plenty of opportunity, and we shouldn't close the door just because it's not a woman-dominated environment.
In your opinion, your expert opinion, do you think we're making progress?
I would say yes. Overall, yes. I mean, when I started, and I may, you know, age myself, when I started studying construction, it wasn't that long ago that women had the same right as men. I grew up in Western Europe. The the right to vote, the right to have a bank account, a mortgage, or whatever. So obviously when I started, there wasn't many women in front of me. Just a few here and there, no one around me, that's for sure. But through my professional evolution, I saw more women. There was more women studying with me, moving around. I saw more women in different positions. And even I never had a woman leader, which is a shame. There were quite a few around me. However, there's still not enough. Especially in the construction industry, it's still, you know, mostly male managers, male leaders. Actually, I should correct that, because it's not because you're a manager. You may be a manager, but it doesn't mean you're a leader. And I saw a lot of people being managers, but they're not leaders in my view of what leadership is. And it makes it difficult to progress, to get an idea of how we can be a leader too. You know, if you don't have examples around you, or if the examples around you are just, they really, really don't fit you. You know, personality-wise, for example, style of leadership, it's very difficult to create your own. To be a leader when you're one of the few. But there's a progression, so we're getting there. It's way too slow. And I know there's a report that came out, I think, last week or a few weeks ago from Women in the Workplace by LinkedIn and McKinsey, I think. And that highlights a lot of the issues. But at least there's been some progression, certainly from the time I started, that's for sure. We need more.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's really important. It is important for women to take on leadership roles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the key point is really bringing diversity of thought. And that is not just gender. I want to highlight that. It's you know, whether you're a different background or you just have a different way of thinking. But having different people around the table, you know, whether it's a boardroom or a project management room or whatever, it's having that diversity of thought that come from having people that come from different backgrounds or that who have different way of thinking. And that really leads to thinking of different solutions, which themselves leads to business performance and better evolution of the world. And I know there's plenty of studies around that. Obviously, that is a long-term result, so not something that will happen straight away. And I would say the other point of having more leadership, women leaders, is the visibility. And we have terms like visibility, role model, inspiration, because it is very hard to even set yourself a goal if you don't see something similar around you. So to get the idea of being different, you know, of being a leader, if you have no leaders, women leader around you, it will be harder for you to get the idea that you can be one. And the next step is to find the courage to be different. It's very, very hard to be different to everybody else in your group, for example. And if I go back to my own experience, so I didn't have, you know, really leaders around me, women leaders, or actually any type of leader that I was attracted to. But I use a lot of fictional characters as inspiration. So I was very much into reading, and that's where I got a lot of my inspiration to go abroad, to do this, to do that. But I needed some kind of guides or maybe more examples to inspire me to do what it is I wanted to do. Without those inspiration, without those fictional characters, I don't think I would have done what I did. That's why we need more leaders from different backgrounds, not just women leader. It's a much more wider issue, the diversity of leadership.
So important, really, really is. What are you, some of the things you think distinguishes you from other coaches that are out there?
Well, I think it's part sort of linked to what I said, that in the sense of the background I have. So having a background, having been a woman in STEM in construction for so long, having the international and multicultural experience, having been through a lot of changes in my life, I think that's a point that allow potential clients to connect with me from even before speaking to me. I know when I was looking for a coach myself, that was some of my criteria, because I just wasn't in the right mental space to just keep trying different coach. I wanted somebody that I could feel some kind of connection before speaking to them. So that's one part. The other part is linked to my own reflection, and it's something I'm still refining, about what am I going to do with those coaching skills that I really, really like, but what can I do that is me and also works for, would be useful for the people I want to work with. So mostly women, professional women, sort of in their mid-management. So they're not yet senior executives, they're not yet entitled to for example, coaching paid by the company, etc. And I really looked at, so what is coaching? How can I present coaching? Because very often coaching is being more and more known, but there's still a lot of people who don't know what coaching is. Coaching is really, it's a form of professional and personal development, and we're all familiar with development. So that's one way of introducing coaching. Then I looked at how do I create a bridge between the coaching world and what I call the real world of professional, hardworking, busy, sorry, I don't know what coaching is, I don't have time to look into it, I don't have time for all those sessions or whatever. And I also look at what format, what can I do with the format so it's better suited to their needs and their availability. And what I really came up with is coming up with finding a way to create sparks of insight. Just one spark at a time. And with the building up of spark, you get to enough spark so you can ignite a fire of taking action, for example. And if you keep going, you keep the momentum of keeping the fire burning through more sparks. And that's really getting used to, I think the expression is being comfortable in the uncomfortable. So I really had that reflection, and I haven't seen that reflection happen around me or on the coaching platform that I follow or other coaches. And what I want to do with that reflection is create a program, so that is still being developed, that I'm likely going to call Instant Coaching Infused Conversation, making it something short, quite specific, but with the aim of having the client or clients living with at least a spark of insight, and hopefully they'll get the interest of having another spark later on. So I think that is something that made me very different to the other coaches. And this coach is for everybody, that is for sure. But that's really, I really want to serve those professional women who want to evolve, but who are so busy. So how do we make it work for them? That's been my reflection, and I've, of course, used a lot of my own experience, who I was 5-10 years ago, to get there. And as I said, still refining it.
Yeah, always, right? Life is all about refinement, tweaking and learning and the wisdom that we gain. If we knew now what, if we knew then what we know now, right? It always holds true.
Yes.
What is your, how do you describe your coaching style? Everybody has their own unique style. How do you describe yours?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question, because I never thought really of having a coaching style. I guess style is linked to who I am. But I think going back to the reflection I mentioned before, it's really been about, okay, I've got those coaching skills. How do I make them work for me and for my client? And it's really been adapting those skills. And what I've seen from my experience, it's really about having a conversation. It's almost, let's forget it's called coaching or whatever. We're having a conversation where it's all about you, the client, but you're not left on your own with your own thoughts. Your own thought going around in circle in your head and you can't expand them. So it's all about you. You're not on your own, but we're having a conversation. It's very casual. It's all about listening in a way that we are not used to be listened most of the time, certainly, I guess, in the professional environment. I'm sure you are used to listen, but in a lot of professional environment, the true listening, to listen what the other person wants to say, does not exist. So I'm not sure how to describe it as a style, but it's having a conversation about the client, and I'm there to listen to the client, to listen to where the client's mind is going. And sometimes very often they are surprised where their mind is going, and to reflect back to them and just having that conversation with them in a way that they figure out things on their own, and then they go about carrying them out. Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. And that's what it's about. What is your mission as a coach?
So my mission, I use two taglines. One is related to my construction experience, and that's the empowering professional women to design, build, and lead their life and career in their own term. And it's linked to my construction experience in the design and build, in that now, it's been going on for a while, in the construction industry, we're able to start building a very complex project without having finished the design. And obviously, we can do the same with our life. We can, start designing something, start working on it while we continue designing the rest of it. And the other tagline I use, which is something much more recent, it's empowering professional women again, but to become the captain of your own vessel, and a vessel that has been made to measure for the direction you want to take, and hopefully can help you deal with the bad weather you're going to encounter along the way. And that's really how I define my mission. So again, the word empowering is there, and as I said, I love that word. It's very empowering.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I'm sure it is, and for the clients as well. Why is it important for us to live authentically?
Yeah, so again, authenticity, that's another word that is, I call it word of the moment. It's, in many, many places. And I would say, first of all, with authenticity, we have to start to make sure we know what authenticity, to know ourselves, that we know what is authentic for us. And make sure we're not using somebody else's authenticity. And the other step is we all live, we have to interact with other people. We live in a society. So how much of that full-on authenticity do we want to show when we're with other people? And I think that's important because it's figuring out in different circumstances how much of ourself or true authenticity we want to show versus where we need to adapt to fit with others. And I think that's very important because it's figuring out where we are still comfortable enough so that we can fit with, the group, for example, if we work in a team or whatever. But we are still moving into our chosen direction. We're still happy. We feel fulfilled. We feel satisfied. with who we are. And that's where I think authenticity is very important. So live authentically, yes, but make sure it's the right level of authenticity depending on the circumstances. So, for example, I'm not the same person when I'm with my friends or when I was working on a construction project, for example, or when I'm with clients. I'm still authentic, but it's not the same element of authenticity, maybe. And that's why I think it's important. So know your authenticity, know how much you want to, what type of authenticity you want to show up with in different circumstances, so that you're happy and fulfilled and satisfied with what you're doing, even though you're more or less fitting into society, group, or something else. Yeah.
That's great. That is fantastic. I can't believe that the half hour is all wrapped up.
Yeah,
here,
I know. It's amazing.
It went by very fast. But folks can go to this website, and that's pistachiocassis.com. Let me spell that for everybody. It's, of course, www.pistachiocassis.com. And this was really fantastic, Christelle. I hope we get a chance to chat some more, maybe hear some case studies, some testimonials, expand some more on the extraordinary work you do. This half hour went by so incredibly fast, but really a pleasure speaking with you, and I applaud you for all the beautiful work you do, and hope you enjoyed your time with me on Close Up Radio as much as I have with you.
I certainly did, Jim. Thank you. Thank you to you. Thank you to the whole team behind you. I'm sure there's a large team working there. And, yeah, I really enjoyed the experience, despite all the butterflies in my stomach, so they're going to go soon.
You did a good job for the first time doing
something
like this.
But it was a great experience. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, the pleasure is all ours, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon. You be well. Our very special guest, Christelle Soto Suarez of Pistachio Cassis Coaching, and real pleasure to have her here. This was the first time she ever did anything like this, and I think she knocked it out of the park. You know why? Because she was authentic. She was herself. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you as well. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than a half hour from now with another great guest for you live from around the world on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.